This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions.
What an open for the markets. Wow, it took less than 5 minutes for the S&P 500 to drop 7%, triggering the first circuit breaker of the day. Trade since then has been what appears to be, at least to me, orderly. And even the commodity markets are trying to work up from session lows.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll connoiter with Pro Farmer's Own Jim Wiesmeyer. Then it's Machinery Pete Greg Peterson. And right after the news, Michael Clark from BAM WX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Hey, everybody, everything's going to be okay. Here's Chip Flory!
Welcome to AgriTalk. Thank you so much, Davis.
Yeah, baby. Yes.
Yeah. As soon as I said that the commodity markets are trying to work back up from session lows, I rechecked it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's exactly true in all of the markets. We've got beans down making. They're trading very close to session lows. Big gaps to the downside today.
Mm-hmm.
The equities trade reflecting immense amounts of uncertainty and what the coronavirus might do to the global economy going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to spend some time talking about that with Wiesmeyer.
Yeah.
We're also going to find out what else is going on in Washington, D.C. this week. But I would reckon that the first part of our conversation is going to deal with what is going on with the markets, mm-hmm. with what the federal response has been and mm-hmm. will be to the coronavirus, and whether or not inside the Beltway they think the response has been adequate.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, it's,
and I imagine on that, it depends on who you ask. It is starting to get a little bit more interesting for President Trump as he nears his reelection campaign here, because the economy was a big, big pillar of that he was pointing to, saying, see, it's working.
Yep.
And now that leg's been kind of kicked out from under the campaign. So, we'll see what happens.
The big old black swan came swooping in on that one. There is some legitimate concerns. The 10-year note,
yes,
Davis, the rate on the 10-year note was south of 0.5%.
Yep.
The 30-year, bond was under 1%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's just imagine. I heard the math, right? I heard this example this morning on one of the news networks, the business news networks.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the math myself to confirm. And
oh, boy.
I don't know if that confirms anything or not. Me doing math to confirm something. But it did work out to about the same. So let's say that Davis Michelson has lived a very frugal life and saved up $3 million for retirement.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you've got a very secure set of investments out there right now that mm-hmm. is split between bills, notes, and bonds.
Okay. Yep.
And it's kicking off an annual return to you. Off that $3 million, the typical portfolio of treasuries that you might hold would kick off about $15,000 worth of income.
All right.
For this year.
Okay.
I don't know if the guy that saved $3 million is thinking that that's adequate to live on for this year.
Certainly not.
Unbelievable that the mm-hmm. fixed income markets have turned into this.
Mm-hmm.
In this kind of an environment, it's shocking to say the least. All right, let's go ahead and get to the news. What you got going?
Well, as we've been saying, commodity prices plunged after word came that OPEC failed to reach a consensus on a proposed production cut. Russia refused the cuts, spurring a production war. Combined with the spread of coronavirus, stock indices worldwide fell sharply. U.S. soybean and cattle futures are hardest hit at present, but all commodities are down to start the week. Brent crude oil futures careened more than 30% lower as the already fragile world economy suffers another blow. On the oil front, Russia has grown weary of curtailed production after 3 years of subdued output as ordered by OPEC. In response, Saudi Aramco slashed crude oil prices to its major customers in an effort to sway market share away from Russia. But the resulting low price environment is expected to pressure producers worldwide, including U.S. shale producers. Last week, EIA reported U.S. oil output at a very high level, 13.1 million barrels per day on average. Some experts are predicting oil price volatility could pressure futures to $20 this year. Chip.
Man, oh man, they dipped under 30 bucks.
Yeah, they did.
For a short period of time in the overnight. I think it was the April contract went down to like 27.50 or something.
Yeah.
It was just a complete washout, trading at about 33.50 right now. And jeepers, yeah. we went from being an energy dominant nation to one that is now just getting flooded.
Yeah.
With product out there on the market. It's astonishing.
Coronaviruses continue to surface, with the total number around the world exceeding 100,000 and the total number of deaths related to the virus around 3,800. The United States has reported more than 500 cases, and the death toll outside China has risen to 700 people. South Korea, Italy, and France have all been hit hard as of late, prompting France to ban large gatherings in an effort to limit the spread. South Korea averaged more than 500 cases per day last week, but the daily tally has fallen for the last 3 days. U.S. officials spoke on several weekend programs warning of disruptions related to the disease here in the United States. U.S. ag trade for data for January showed exports at $1,144 billion against imports of $11.67 billion for a trade deficit of $234 million. U.S. ag exports nudged higher. And former VP Joe Biden has reportedly been urged to choose a female running mate should he capture the Democratic nomination. There are a number of women suitable for the post, including former Democratic contender Amy Klobuchar. Chip.
Yep. All right. Thank you so much, Davis.
You bet.
Let's bring in Michael Clark, BAMWX.com, get an update on what's going on with this weather. Michael, it's good to talk with you again. How you doing?
Good, Chip. How are you?
Well, we got a little bit of rain here in northeast Iowa, and that's a pretty good-sized system over the middle of the country right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's putting snow down in eastern Nebraska, southern South Dakota, and, you know, eastern Iowa, western Illinois, northern Missouri, probably get a good inch and a half of rain. And it'll put down a nice blanket, half inch to an inch, all the way across Illinois, Indiana, Ohio into tonight.
Okay, so how long is this one going to stick around and influence Midwest weather?
Yeah, just a couple of days. It's not going to hang around too long. It'll move out. And then we do have somewhat of an active week on store for the southern plains. But the northern plains, the Dakotas, Minnesota, stay drier than normal yet again this week, which is drastically different from this time last year where we were 700% of the normal precip. So big difference.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So those guys down in the southern stretches, the Gulf states up into Tennessee and Kentucky, they've been seeing a lot of moisture here of late. Does that continue this week?
It does, even this week, even more so into next week. We've got 200 to 300% of the normal precip forecasted down there, and probably some chances of severe weather too.
Well, they've already the severe weather season has already started down there, so I guess it wouldn't be any surprise. Anything else that we need to be aware of for the next couple of weeks, Michael?
It's just going to get pretty doggone cold in the Pacific Northwest, Northern Plains next week.
Okay.
We can't rule out some snow chances up there next week. We'll keep an eye on it.
Very good. Thank you so much, Michael. That is Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. We have got a lot of ground to cover in this next segment. Obviously, coronavirus and the federal government's response is going to kick off our conversation with Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, up next right here on AgriTalk.
. 2019 marks 40 years of Syngenta and its legacy company's work in seed treatment research and innovation. Ross Weichel, head of Syngenta Seed Care in North America, says a commitment to a robust pipeline is key to success for their customers. Ross joins us now. Hey, Ross. Well, last week we talked about Syngenta's commitment to new products, but what else does Syngenta offer in the way of seed care?
As the number one seed treatment provider in the world, we understand that having great products is only part of a winning equation. We also need to offer the best customer service when it comes to accurately using and stewarding those treatments in the field. As a result, we have dedicated seed care sales and technical support teams who work directly with their resellers and local markets to make sure they can help growers extract the greatest value from our products.
Thanks, Ross. For more stories from Syngenta, head over to www.syngentathrive.com.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Today we have Hugh Sandberg, Secretary Treasurer at Cattlemen's Beef Promotion and Research Board, to talk about what your dollar does to drive demand for beef. So, Hugh, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thank you for having me today. When we talk about sustainability, it's about more than protecting your land. It's about the beef checkoff, supporting good practices, so your way of life stands the test of time. Colorado State University recently found that producers who listed their BQA certification in video auctions earned a premium on average of $16.80 per head sold. And recently, we found that by continuing to improve how we take care of our land, our cattle, and overall operations, today's U.S. beef producers are producing the same amount of beef with one-third less cattle than they did four decades ago. It just goes to show, when we are good stewards of the land takes care of us.
Thank you for joining us. To find out more about what your dollar does for the beef industry, visit yourdollardoes.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff. At Rant, we're once again breaking ground on groundbreaking technology. It's called EndsUp, and it's a revolutionary product featuring new enzyme that helps prime the soil for success at planting by boosting enzyme activity and creating a rich environment around the seed. This function helps plants emerge quickly and come out strong, which gives the crop its best chance to face what Mother Nature has in store and can increase yield up to 15%. So don't break ground this season without the groundbreaking technology of EndsUp enzymes by Brant. Find EndsUp at brant.co.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Precision Planting, provider of practical and effective precision ag technologies to help make farmers smarter every season. Learn more at precisionplanting.com.
Dow Jones is off about 1,500 points right now, 5.8%. The S&P is also lower, but we're looking at about 164 points lower. That's a 5.5% reduction in the S&P 500. We already hit the 7% circuit breaker in today's trade. And
Chip,
go ahead, Davis.
I blame myself. If you happen to catch the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report, we were all about crude oil and production cuts and Russia and OPEC and all this kind of stuff. I'm just afraid they were listening in and they were like, we'll show you, corn boy. Here, watch this. I'm having a hard time with guilt today. It's all my fault.
You know, buck up there, little buckaroo. You'll be fine.
Thanks for that, Chip. Thanks.
Let's bring in Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Jim, we missed you last week. Glad that you could join us on Monday.
It's good to be back. I had to work this weekend, though, for the Pro Farmer members. You could tell this was going to be a big weekend, Chip.
Yeah, just trying to stay up and keep up with everything that was happening out there. Yesterday afternoon, you could feel it starting to build in the global markets, and it manifested pretty it got about as bad as what I figured it would get early on.
Yeah, the fear is spreading faster than the virus. So that's how I write it. And to show you how markets are reacting, if we close the Dow under 1,000 points lower, that'll be considered a victory.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
a positive development. So that's the type of markets we're in now, Chip.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I love one of the first lines in your update this morning, Jim, about the timing of today's today. Today is the 11th anniversary of the longest bull market for U.S. stocks.
Yeah, that's called irony.
And here we are dealing with what's going on. Now, I want to look at a couple of different things, or look at a couple of things differently, because I don't want to blend government and the Fed on this one. The Fed response so far, I thought they tried to get out in front of economic damage. Already there is anticipation, and the Fed funds futures are trading at 100% that we will see another Fed rate cut at the March Federal Open Market Committee meeting. And Jim, aren't we just trying to catch up with what the rest of the world has already done?
Yeah, in a large way. But really, they need to do some other of their tools. You can call it whatever you want, Chip. Quantitative easing, buy a lot more bonds, etc. So they have some more quivers in their arsenal they can take.
Well, that's the big concern, is that the move between meetings, the quote-unquote emergency rate cut, may have it didn't empty their quiver, but it took a lot out of it when it comes to the arrows that they can shoot at this thing.
Yes. Well, you even have former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan saying the bonds could go under zero. So, you know, there's a former Fed chairman.
Good grief.
Yes.
I'm not even sure how we're going to react to something like that as we go forward. So the airlines, obviously, kind of leading the way to the downside here.
Yes, and I think that there could be a movement. I know up on Capitol Hill there is, and even the White House is signaling maybe, I will never use the word bailout, assistance. And Chip, I took several flights last week, and they happen to just be on Southwest. I don't normally use that airline, but everybody's always told me they're always filled. They were only 50% filled on two of my flights, and that tells you the situation right there.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. So how much longer, where are we on the timeline of the coronavirus? This is something that Davis started to talk about last week. I think it's kind of a fascinating topic here. Where are we on the timeline?
Well, China has turned the corner, if we can believe their numbers. South Korea is trending the right way now. So it looks like there's about 2 months of problems here. But prior to this latest downturn, Chip, we were talking about late March or early April. Then you had an expert from China out today in their newspaper saying it could be until June that we continue to see expansion outside of China. So, you know, there's your range. I would think anywhere from April into June this year.
Okay, so what do you think of the federal government's response so far? Has it been adequate?
It's been adequate. I don't like when the president says a perfect response. Nothing's perfect, you know. And so I just think he's better off not saying words like that. And I wish both the executive and legislative branch, you know, what's the Winston Churchill line? Never waste a good crisis, you know.
Right.
I think they should come together and surprise the world and get an infrastructure bill going. That's a stimulus. Trump's economic advisors, as we speak, Chip, are going through some of potential stimulus measures that they're going to put in front of Trump this week.
Okay. When I hear these micro stimulus packages like Kudlow, as he described it, including covering employees' wages if they stay home from work, dude, I hear stuff like that, and I can just imagine three quarters, if not more, of the workforce saying, ha ha, sweet, I'm staying home.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I ran a table on ProFarmer.com this morning that the government is figuring out how many people in the vast, you know, government can work at home. So those are contingency plans. But that'll, if this thing goes on where people don't get out, Chip, you know, this will lead to a recession. Maybe not a severe recession, but it could lead to another probably 5 to 6 percentage points down in the stock market. And that would probably take you into the recession arena.
Right. We're looking at potentially the quickest move from bull market to bear market in the history of these markets because of this.
Yes. Yes. And I can tell it from riding through it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And this, they're calling it social distancing now. we can't just say stay away from people. We got to call it social distancing. The RFS case and the waiver and the appeal. Where's this going, Jim?
Well, the Department of Justice said they wanted 2 weeks to try to find out what they haven't been able to do for 2 years, Chip, and that's a solution that makes everyone happy. In other words, they won't find it. So they need to sit on a consistent conclusion. And we thought we had it done, and then the oil energy lobbyist and senator, Cruz, went to him and said, wait a minute. And so then they it looks like they may have flipped again. So we'll see in 2 weeks. Now, it's in the May category. We still don't know whether they'll outright appeal it yet, even though the corn and biofuel lobbyist signaled that was going to be the case last week. It's just another example, Chip, of the last groups to speak to Trump, gets heard the loudest.
I got you. Secretary Perdue is going to be back on the Hill this week. He's got, I believe he testifies twice.
Tuesday and Thursday.
Okay, before both chambers.
Yes.
On budget-related issues. They're going to ask him about the farm economy again. What's your take on Perdue's take of the farm economy?
Well, Johansson, I want to listen to Johansson's going. The top economist is also going to be up at one of the hearings. I think the House of Probes, but I want to hear his rendition because I think he knows the numbers a little bit better than the secretary. And this thing is a cash flow problem, Chip, and it's not going to go away anytime near term. Not with these prices that we're seeing. So I hope our ag secretary gets a little more level-headed once it comes to the financial, situation. And I know what he wants. He doesn't want to signal an MFP3 program for fear that they'll skew plantings, et cetera. But I just think when you take them out, look at the cash flow situation, and it looks very negative.
Okay, Jim. Yeah, I hope he gets reconnected to reality in some of these cases when we're talking about Perdue and his perception of what's happening in American agriculture right now. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk with you again real soon.
Anytime.
All right. That is Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Of course, we love having Jim on anytime we can get him on here. All right. When we come back, Machinery Pete, we're going to get an update on what happened this weekend next.
March Madness is here, and Farm Journal is joining in on the fun with its first ever Bracket Busters Challenge. Head to agweb.com on the evening of March 15th, that's Selection Sunday, and make your picks. Entries close when the first game starts on Thursday the 19th. The top three brackets will win Amazon gift cards.
Where does harvest begin? At Great Plains, we believe harvest starts when your combine leaves the field. At this exact moment, your fields take on the potential to become something greater. Using sound agronomic principles, we are proud to offer you innovative, high-quality equipment to create opportunities for growth, higher yields, and success, year after year. Since 1976, our products have been built right here at home in the USA, where we've stood by farmers harvest after harvest. Create a lasting legacy on your farm. Visit GreatPlainsAg.com. Great Plains. Harvest starts here.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. And Brian, you know I go looking for the plus signs normally to start this conversation. And if I did that today, it'd be a very short conversation because I don't see anything in the green in these ag markets today. Let's start with the livestock, though, because honestly, with the Dow off 1,500 points, cattle aren't limit down.
Yeah, they started limit down and have worked off of it. We're trading very close to limits at the moment, but like you said, at least we're trading in most of these contracts. So I guess that's a minor positive takeaway. It's just a real negative tone here to kick off the week, obviously, with the second major hit coming with the crude oil price war that started with Saudi Arabia over the weekend on top of coronavirus, and it's just really hammering the marketplace.
Yeah, and soybeans, I feel like soybeans are at risk of experiencing the most technical damage here this morning. Am I wrong there?
No, I think when we look at the corn and wheat markets, they're performing relatively well. SRW wheat futures are trying to lead us off the lows or are leading us off the lows. So the bean market's taking it on the chin the hardest in the grain and soy markets and meal and oil as well. Those three markets are really being hit with heavy pressure here to kick off the week.
Yeah, that May meal contract down more than $6.50 right now, trading under $300. Normally, I'd jump up and down and say, hey, that's a buying opportunity. But in this kind of trade, I think maybe you sit back and wait.
Yeah, I think you just don't know where the bottoms are in these markets. I mean, when we get into these panic, fear-filled, sell-offs like this, it's really hard. It's like catching falling knives to be very cliche.
Not recommended. Thank you, Brian. This is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Farm Journal Hemp College is going south. Check out the upcoming college happening March 25th in Lubbock, Texas. This one-day farmer-focused event will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, and legal considerations. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions and see if it's a good fit for you. Register for Hemp College in Texas today by visiting agweb.com/events/hemp-college.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bear Plus Rewards. Sign in and start earning at mybearplus.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. Tough day in the markets, but we're going to talk about some used machinery markets right now. And we want you to give us a call. You got any questions about what a piece of equipment might be worth? Now's the time. Pick up the phone. Give us a call, 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way we'll be sure to see it. Oh, my goodness.
Thanks,
Adam. All right,
Kitty.
Let's bring him in. Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Well, considering
tough Monday.
Yeah, exactly. This Monday with the way that the markets are trading makes me want to take a look at what happened in the machinery markets over the last weekend, buddy. So let's get it started with the pick of the week. What do you got?
Yeah, well, actually, what I'm seeing is the exact opposite of the Black Monday news we're reading about this morning. And it just is what it is. It's amazing But the pick of the week, I'm going to go Saturday, which we'll talk more about it, but Saturday was incredible. A number of auctions around the country, nice machinery. Wow. Difficult to pick one item, but I went with a 2016 KSH Magnum 280. This thing sold Saturday, Central Ohio. Our friends Ben Higgins, auctioneer out there, great company, had the sale, farm sale. Only 175.8 hours on the 16 model Magnum 280. Went for 167.5, which, you know, okay, well, let's analyze that. Now, that is the record highest price I've ever seen on a Magnum 280 by $10,000, which we maybe should expect, but those hardly used at all hours. The previous high was 157.5, but that was back in August of 16.
Oh, geez.
And this is, again, what I'm seeing all over the place here. When this good use stuff is showing up, it's still ringing the bell.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've talked about the reasons why on this, but isn't this 16-year kind of the in-betweener? Because aren't the DEF requirements on this?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a tweener, which, again, yeah, that's why I find it interesting that we have another example from another sale Saturday in Illinois where a 13 model Deere 8360R in Illinois, low hours, just over 1,000 hours, went for 221, highest in 15 months. So we've talked about the two hot spots being the 1 to 3 year old under warranty and then the 10-ish year old stuff. Those are still hot. But now we're seeing, and then again, those two examples we gave here were really low hours. So one thing that might be happening at a macro level, you know, there's a lot of farmers out there with a lot of really nice equipment deciding to retire now.
Yep.
And, you know, we can ask why, but I'm seeing them show up all over with this great equipment, and the buying demand is really strong out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if we need to ask why too hard. for those guys that if they do have a bankroll left for retirement, they don't want to see it get away from them, Greg, and they've just decided to heck with it. And it's part of the cycle that we go through in farming. I don't want to put a number of years on it, but it's part of a cycle. It's one of the reasons that we talk about the average age of farmers. My gosh, it's this high, and then all of a sudden it doesn't get any higher for a period of time. It's because guys decide to retire.
Yeah, I remember back in 2012 at the top of the market, a younger farmer in his 40s in Minnesota had a retirement auction, and people were like, "Well, are you sick?" And he was like, "No. But I'm going to sell now, step away, wait," and he fully planned to get back in. I've lost track with the guy if he did come back in. But, again, timing is everything. And right now, again, with the rising price of new so high, that all I can tell you is there's a flood of really nice used out there, and it's selling well. But it's got to be in good condition.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Don't bring out the beat up stuff and expect for it to pull those top dollars. What else at that Ohio auction?
Well, again, more proof, a 12 model Magnum 190, again, low hours, 1,222 hours, went for $89K. That's the fifth highest auction price ever on a Magnum 190. A nice combine in that 10-year-old hotspot range, an 09 Case H 5088, 1,080 SEP hours on it. So again, really nice. That brought 100. Solid price there for 10 years old. Okay. Planter, maybe you better buy there, a 13 model Great Plains 1225A Yield Pro 1224 Twin Row. That brought $35,000. So, again, that was Saturday, Central Ohio.
Okay. All right, let's bring it this way towards Iowa and stop in Illinois. What do you got there?
Yeah, Illinois, you maybe saw this video, folks, I posted last night. Our friends at Sullivan Auctioneers had a sale Saturday in Mendota, Illinois. Really interesting sale here. They had an 18-model John Deere S760 combine, two-wheel drive, 159 SEP hours on that. That went for $280. Some people commenting like, well, that's pretty cheap, whatever, but hard cash, not bad. A month ago, I saw a 19 model go for $286. Now, again, Saturday, The one tractor that really got me, Chip, on that sale was an 08 John Deere 8230.
Okay.
IDT 1,935 hours, so it's just over 10 years old, under 2,000 hours, and it brought 149. So when I saw that, it's like, that seems high. And I looked, it's the highest auction price on an 8230 since November of 13. And just for perspective, average auction price last year on an 8230 was just under 95.1. But that average was up 14.5%. So what that tells me, that's that 10-year-old spot. So the average, which includes all the clunkers, and we see a lot of those,
yeah,
the average is up 15%. And then when you get a really sharp one like that, Sullivan sold Saturday, 149, that was gangbusters.
Wow. That's a big number.
And again,
it feels like
that's when things, that's when things are shaky all around us. So
yeah,
it is what it
yeah
is.
Yeah, and Lee's just kind of scratching your head a little bit, no doubt about it. Let's do something for the livestock guys. What do you got back in Ohio?
Ohio, another sale Saturday, unbelievable. I probably should have made this the pick of the week, but our friends at Kiko Auctioneers had a sale, with, and they had an 07 New Holland 575 small square baler. Super okay nice, under 5,000 bales, brought 22.5, oh, second highest auction price ever. Now, here's the interesting thing. All these years I've been tracking prices, the only 575 I've seen higher was like 2 weeks ago in New Holland,
it,
Pennsylvania. Yeah, that one had never been used. I don't know the scoop
yeah
on it. The guy just bought it and held it. But that brought 24 never used.
Well, so 5,000 bales through Saturday, this 2007 one. I mean,
right,
that's barely used.
Right. So, again, the amount of hardly used 5 to 10-year-old equipment out there is kind of astounding.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost
which,
like guys are digging out of the back of the machine shed and, oh, I forgot about
well
this.
Well, two things. One, we've talked about it. So much new was bought from that
yep
late 07 through 13. Mm-hmm. Now, on one of the YouTube videos I posted this weekend, you know, people see these high prices and they chime in, and I get it. That's how social media works. They're like, well, all these, what are these farmers doing? They're buying all this stuff on credit. And it's like, well, who said they're buying it on credit?
Right.
You know, there's a lot of strong balance sheets out there still after all these tough years.
Right.
So that, and, you know, when the right piece, whether that baler that's like new, that's 13 years old, when it shows up, you know, people mm-hmm are like, well, a new one costs X. It's, yeah, that's why they sell. That's why they sell so high.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. You got a tractor there in central Minnesota that's got a few more hours on it. Tell us the story there.
Yeah, Friday, central Minnesota. Schultz Auctioneers had a farm sale in 1990, John Deere 4455, mechanical front, power shift, a new cab liner, which I do think that is a nice upgrade. If you're looking to sell, definitely look into that.
Okay.
7,662 hours, it brought 56. Now that's for
okay
7,600 hours, 56 is pretty darn good. Average the price on the last 54 of them sold is like 33,250. And the highest all last year was 64. So again, that was Friday. So these data points, they're popping in from, you know, Ohio, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Missouri. If it's good, buyer demand is, at least up till now, is still there.
Okay. All right. What do you got coming up this week?
Well, we're filming an auction for the TV show this Saturday in Erie, Colorado. Sullivan Auctioneers is having a sale for the Johnston Family Farms. They got a 2008 Magnum 215, 3,812 hours. Some other nice tractors, a two-wheel drive 8100. Those are always fun. Four older John Deere combines, a pair of 9500s, 9510, 9600. So if you're out in Colorado, folks, come join us Saturday. And then a week from this Saturday, the 21st, we'll be right down the road from me in Lanesboro, Minnesota, filming an auction. Our friends at Maring Auction have a great farm auction for Wayne and Kathy Haug in Lanesboro. So we'll be out there on the 21st. They got a 13 model John Deere 8285R with only 690 hours on it. So that could be a hot one there.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Hey, you know what Sunday is, right?
Sunday, this coming Sunday. Is,
yeah. Selection Sunday. Selection Sunday.
It's what?
Selection Sunday. You got to fill out
yes
your bracket, dude.
Our Gophers are terrible this year. Well, not terrible.
Well, they're not as bad as my Cyclones. I'll guarantee that. But you got to fill out your bracket. You got to fill out your bracket because there's hundreds and thousands of people out there that want to be able to say, I beat him. I beat Machinery Pete.
He could easily do that. I'm bad at predicting.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, sounds good, guys. Yeah.
With Cenex Premium Diesel, you can count on a diesel that will keep your operation in top shape.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Farm Journal Hemp College is going south. Check out the upcoming college happening March 25th in Lubbock, Texas. This one-day farmer-focused event will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, and legal considerations. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions and see if it's a good fit for you. Register for Hemp College in Texas today by visiting agweb.com/events/hemp-college.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have Arc County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Protect diesel engines with premium Cenex lubricants. Choose SuperLube TMS, a conventional heavy-duty diesel engine oil engineered to deliver protection for new, current, and older diesel engines. SuperLube TMS protects against soot, prevents sludge deposits, and slows oil thickening. The power needed to weather long hours and heavy, dusty road conditions. The power of Cenex lubricants keeps engines running like a well-oiled machine.
Cenex is a brand of CHS.
Talking now with John Guglielmi. He is the National Sales Director for Brandt. So you've been in the news quite a bit this year for the nutrition products that are helping to smash these record yields out there. Well, tell us about that.
Sure. The one we want to highlight is Enzup Zinc. It's a new enzyme technology that's built into the product. It's designed to go into pre-plant fertilizers. It allows the plant to get out of the ground quicker to get those yields up so that the plant can maximize its genetic potential. We're really excited about it.
Boy, I tell you what, it seems like that is what I hear time and time again on products that people are excited about, is that quick start to the crop.
Yeah, get it up quick,
yep.
start pulling in those heat units, get the fertilizer, and the enzyme actually helps the fertilizer to be more efficient. It gets it in the root system, it then pushes it up into the plant, and then the plant can utilize that fertilizer to growing and eventually putting on a crop.
Okay, I know that Enzup has been used on some of these world record plots out there, but on average, what kind of a return might you expect?
So we're seeing somewhere between 15% yield bumps on these, whether it be on beans or whether it be on corn. It's been utilized in both of those crops, again, helping with getting that plant out quicker. What we found is that by doing that, you do add more yield to that crop. So it's just simple science. Put it in there, it makes the fertilizer work better, and you get more yield out.
And you're focused underground as much as you are above ground.
Exactly. You know, Brandt has traditionally been a foliar fertilizer company, but this allows us to start at the root. Now, we do have our foliars that certainly do help to drive additional yields or whatnot, but we think it's really important to get that plant off to a really good start and take advantage of those genetics.
How do we learn more about Brandt?
You can learn more about us by downloading our app. We have a product finder either through Apple or Google Play. You can also go to our website at brandt.co.
Very good. Thank you so much, John. That is John Guglielmi. He is the National Sales Director for Brandt.
A little cold weather never hurt anybody, but with typical number two diesel, it can do a number on your field equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. That's how Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Seasonally Enhanced optimizes cold weather performance. Or stick with your fair weather friend, typical number two. Your choice. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
With more than 75 years of proven performance, Cenex lubricants keep your equipment in peak condition.
I'm going to miss her. But,
well, I love her.
Is this the Little Baby Duck song?
This is not the Little Baby Duck song.
No.
You know, she's asking him to make a choice. And he does.
It's got to be Brad Paisley. Oh, he's going to miss her.
Yes.
Well, that's nice.
No doubt. All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
Yeah.
Great conversation with Jim. Really good conversation with Greg. And the Dow is now down 1,200 points. At the low of the day, the Dow was off 2,046 points.
Yes.
So quite the recovery happening in this market. Now, April crude, the quote that I've got right now, Davis, is down $7 a barrel, 34.28. Okay. The low is 27.34. So about $7 off the lows in the crude oil market as well. But so this oil price war, what is Saudi Arabia trying to prove with this?
I think that I don't know, and maybe I'm way off on this. It almost feels like a war of spite, because Russia did agree to hop in, what was it, 3 years ago or so?
Yeah,
and yeah,
for
okay,
OPEC Plus.
We'll pull production back a little bit, try to stabilize prices. Whatever. Well, those pullbacks have been in place. It was supposed to be just for 6 months. And it's continued up through this day. OPEC comes around now this time and says, hey, look, we got to do something here. We might need to cut production again. And Russia says, absolutely not. We're not doing it. And here we are. There are some who are talking about oil down to 20 bucks. Yet this year, as a result of all of this. Interestingly enough, let's make it practical here. Heating oil futures, have you looked at the heating oil chart?
No.
There's a gap from Friday's close. 16 cents downward. A 16 cent gap.
I just opened it. Oh my goodness.
We made it to a low of $1.07. This morning we're back up trading around $1.20, but still off 18 cents on the day in the April heating oil futures. And these products is where it really matters to us. And
when does all of this show up at the pump and have an impact on my wallet?
I think we've already seen lower gasoline prices. There are some spots in my area that are below $2. I was traveling up into the Twin Cities over the weekend, and they're rolling, you know, around 230, I guess I would call it. This has got to have a downward impact on gasoline probably first. And, you know, we've got that lag in farm diesel between the heating oil futures and the retail price. So we could be looking at another, I don't know, depending on how long this lasts, how quickly heating oil futures recover, but we could be looking at declines for the next 2, 3, possibly 4 weeks.
Yeah.
It's kind of going to depend on the seasonalities of it, though, because planting season is right around the corner, and that's a big demand time. The retailers know that. Everybody's going to be coming in looking to book some diesel for spring right. planting, for pre-plant applications, for all kinds of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see, but I'm not buying diesel yet.
So here we are. The world, Saudi Arabia has basically said, we're going to make sure that there's plenty of crude oil out there.
Right.
Because we are the cheapest producer. Mm-hmm. What does that do to the fracking in the U.S.?
Well, the fracking mainly produces that light sweet crude oil that everybody wants. It's very popular out there. You can make fuels from it and do all sorts of stuff with it much more easily than you can with the heavier crudes, which would be included in the Brent basket. And so I don't know.
They're sulfur heavy. The crude coming out of Saudi Arabia, is that right?
That's right. That's right. Okay. They call them sour, which is 1-2% sulfur content. And I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but if you're talking about the light sweet coming out, we're looking at a sulfur content less than 0.5%. Right. A lot of this coming out of the tar sands, we're looking at a 0.34-0.37%, I believe I read on Friday. And, you know, and we did mention on Friday the huge production numbers that we see. This last week, EIA reported 13.1 million gallons produced on average per day. That's an enormous figure. I think we're probably going to see some producers looking at their margins saying, hey, this is, no, we need to cut back just a little bit to maintain these margins. Well, and I think that's probably the case.
And if we cut back on the fracking in the country, then that could tighten up our natty gas supplies, right?
It absolutely could. Yeah. And let's see. Let's look at natural gas. I didn't even look at that chart yet today. Yeah, we're down. Well, we're at $1.68 on the April contract. Come on, chart. Yeah, natural gas really didn't respond all that.
Okay.
Really at all. It looks like a little lower on the day, but yeah, certainly. But you know, then there's also the coronavirus. There's export or import demand from China to consider when it comes to the natty gas. Yeah. And if Russia is like, okay, you want a production war, we'll give you a production war. There's going to be plenty of natural gas around.
Yeah, I wonder why we haven't heard any coronavirus numbers coming out of Russia yet. David from Illinois wants to know if the coronavirus will affect urban or rural areas more. It's urban areas, and it's just because of the close proximity. I mean, people going to work, riding the trains, doing what they do are going to put our urban friends in closer proximity to more opportunity to make contact with the virus.
That's yeah, and I spent the weekend at a basketball tournament for my son in Minneapolis. So, you know, in this way, it certainly could be spread and pulled out of those urban areas down into the rural areas. Sorry, everybody.
No doubt about it. Yeah. No doubt about it.
It's all my fault.
But it's something that everybody is going to be paying very, very close attention to, including John Newton, who is the chief economist at the American Farm Bureau Federation. He's going to join us tomorrow morning, give us a read on what he thinks is happening around the world and the impact of the coronavirus. And this afternoon, we've got Kent Beadle from CHS Hedging right here on AgriTalk.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact ZR trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Planting season is fast approaching. Are you confident your depth is set correctly? Or are you assuming your T-handle placement is correct? From seeing thousands of planters across the country, the folks at Precision Planting have found that even when depth setting is the same across the planter, actual planting depth can vary by up to 3/4 of an inch, leading to erratic emergence row by row. A simple block check can be done to avoid this issue. Visit planterexpert.com to find a Precision Planting dealer who can help you get smarter every season and avoid row-to-row variability.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.